This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9. Bent Notes is our weekly jazz program going to air each Sunday night.
My guest tonight on Bent Notes is a trumpeter and composer who participates in many different projects I've discovered, one of which he describes as a psychedelic jazz collective. The music from the collective might sound a little familiar. We heard a piece at the top of the program tonight, which did have a bit of a familiarity about it, but at the same time, it might sound a little bit different. That psychedelic jazz collective is called I Hold the Lion's Paw, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the Bent Note studio trumpeter and band leader Reuben Lewis. It is great to have you in here, and we'll just turn your microphone on, which is microphone number one, and we'll be right. Well, there you go, Reuben. We've got audio now.
It definitely says two
on the microphone that he's sitting in front of.
Well, there we go. We're all making up as we go along.
We do that all the time.
That's right. It's more fun that way.
That's improv. Now, Reuben, I've read that you are described as an influential voice in the new jazz, free improvisation and avant multidisciplinary community. That's a word in itself.
It's
multidisciplinary communities of Australia with an electroacoustic language of your own, which is interesting, created through your trumpet in combination with other technology. Now, that's a whole mouthful.
That is. It's hard to remember, isn't it?
It is. I'm going to ask one focused question out of all that. What is the electroacoustic language?
Well, best to come and see for yourself, of course.
Of course.
I guess over the last sort of 4 to 5 years or so, I've been slowly experimenting with various elements, mainly sort of analog effects and guitar pedals and that kind of thing, trying to avoid using laptop and live performance just because it's a lot of extra work.
I have seen laptops being used in some performances.
Oh, and they sound incredible, but yeah. They're very, I find them very volatile to work with. So I'm going much more old school and, chucking things through distortion pedals and delay pedals and bits and pieces like that. So if you come to see the show at Wangaratta, you'll see me with all sorts of gadgets and things on stage and hopefully making good use of them.
But this is not a guitar that you're putting through them.
No, it's
this
my
is
trumpet,
your trumpet.
So I guess you could hark back to people such as Miles Davis, obviously, in the 70s, who kind of sort of got that into the mainstream focus with his wah pedal and bug mic and all that kind of thing. But also, current contemporaries such as, John Hassell or Arve Henriksen, Nils Petter Molvær, all these trumpet players have experimented with these sort of things. And it's sort of coming into a whole new vogue these days, and people are starting to, as technology is getting more and more, smaller and smarter and less sort of volatile, all these incredible people are making good use of it. So I'm just trying to keep up.
So why do you need to create music using this technology? Is it something to do with your core values and beliefs in what music should be?
Well, I guess for me, it was a long journey to get to a point where I wanted to use electronics. For a very long time there, I was adamant that I was going to keep everything that I was doing acoustic. So for a long time, I was really developing a language on the trumpet that could replicate things like distortion and feedback and these sort of electro sounds, but using an acoustic sound. So looking at people like Axel Dohna or Ivan Loning, who are incredible sound artists on their instruments. But the turning point for me came in 2015 when I was doing a festival in Malacca in Malaysia with, I think I was working with about 60 dancers at that time, and I was one of the main musicians for that. And it just sort of got to the point where I couldn't make a sound big and low enough to make it work. So I started collecting samples and messing with them and altering them to sort of fit the context, because the venue is this beautiful old dilapidated church with no roof in the middle of midtown in Malacca on a hilltop. So it's a big open space, and as hard as I tried to play, big open sounds, at a certain point, usually about the third hour in, where you need something else just to sort of drop in. So that's where it all started, and then slowly but surely it's sort of been building and building and getting to a much more sort of expansive setup. So for the Wangaratta Festival, I'll be using a whole variety of different pedals as well as some synthesizers and that kind of stuff, and just try to keep it. I mean, the fundamental thing for me is that I started with an acoustic improv mindset, and I'm just trying to find ways to amplify that in different ways that fit the music. So since starting this collective with I'd Hold the Lines For, which is definitely focused around elements that come from, you know, 70s Miles, so albums like Bitches Brew and Live Evil and On the Corner, and also elements from Fela Kuti, for example, which all have these sort of different sort of electronic elements, and it just sort of seems fitting that it's slowly progressing in that way. And also John Hassell's just put out a new album at the start of this year called Listening to Pictures, which is possibly the best thing I've heard ever. So I'm very inspired by that as well, and he's a sonic master when it comes to electroacoustic work.
You talked there about trying to get a sound that was deeper than what you could get just with your trumpet alone. You didn't think just to go to a tuba or something like that?
Well, it's more the, I think there's certain aesthetic things that come with using electronic sounds. So, you know, low subby drones, you sort of need to, there isn't really a way to create those things without a lot of very refined miking techniques and that sort of thing. And sometimes when you're, you know, in the middle of a town in monsoon season with a big PA and a microphone, you've got to find a different way to work it out. So I certainly know how to get those sounds in some way acoustically, but, you know, it's there's certain points where you realize that you're fighting against something which you can sort of, you know, change around and actually make it work. So it really depends on the context that you are working it in. And sometimes you just need that low synth drone to work it out, or you just need that distortion pedal to get that sound just right. But yeah, every context is a different challenge to it.
When you're doing that live, obviously if you're doing something live and you decide you want to play a really deep note, you can't just run out and get your tuba anyway, but you've got your information, your equipment there. Are you able to determine on the fly that you're going to do something you've never done before with the equipment, or do you need to have worked through what you're planning and understand what you can get out of the equipment before you get there?
Yeah, I mean,
that was a strange question, but I hope it made some sense.
No, it's completely irrelevant. I mean, because the I Hold the Lines For Collective is quite a sort of constantly morphing and fundamentally a free improvising group, but using compositional elements to sort of scaffold the thing together. So there is always this element of, you know, not really knowing exactly where things are going to go or how it's going to work. And something about my compositional and arranging aesthetic always leaves room for things to move. So I find that whilst it would be much easier for my stress levels to just, you know, work it out and plan it out at the start, but I feel that there's something stopping me from doing that. I always have to have some means of freedom and improvisation built into the system. So even when I'm using pedals in live contexts, I very rarely have preset or pre sort of arranged parameters that I work through. It's often dealing with the sounds and the instruments as they come along.
I assume that means that you have surprised yourself sometimes with the sound that emanates out of this pedal that you've just adjusted.
Oh, constantly. I mean, you know, that's half the joy of it. And getting quicker and quicker to be able to manipulate those sounds and work with them is just like I would when I'm making sounds on the trumpet. That's part of the joy and part of the challenge, is getting those things that are quite foreign to me as an acoustic instrumentalist, finding ways to make it feel and react like an acoustic instrument is part of the fun. And I'm very glad that I started with this very acoustic aesthetic, because as I delve into this deeper and deeper and start to research people who really know what they're doing, such as you know, David Brown, for example, who's the bass player in my band, or the electric bass player in my band, he's a sonic genius when it comes to this sort of stuff. So every time I watch these people and understand how they're working it, I get a little bit closer to finding it, you know, getting it to feel more sort of like a trumpet, I guess.
Now, you have a long list of projects on your website. I started reading, I thought, oh, it goes on forever.
It does.
Does the list represent a range of different musical styles and approaches, or are they all related in some fashion?
Well, I guess it's all related in some way.
To you, obviously.
Of course. But for me, I try and keep my website quite up to date. So,
I noticed that. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad someone's looking at it. For me, the website is a chance for me to kind of make sure that all of my current, you know, active projects over the last 2 or 3 years are there somewhere. So if you look on my website, you can click on a project or a band or an album and see it and buy it if you want, or watch it or listen to it. And so it's just a way for me to kind of, you know, clearly outline where my activities are. And I guess when you look through all of it, there's a through line of, I guess the thread through it all is some form of improvisation, but there's elements that go into contemporary dance, into shamanic trance practices, into funk, into hip hop, into, you know, blues into jazz, all these kind of things, they're all there somewhere. And it's just some way of me keeping track of where I've ended up since being in Melbourne.
It's really there for your benefit, not mine.
Well, hopefully it's enjoyable for somebody else. But, you know, it's one of those things where all you can really do these days is have somewhere where everything is clear. So, you know, if someone's interested in what I'm doing, they can go somewhere and go, oh, cool, so there's this thing, and then these people are connected. And, I mean, for me, I guess, like, in some ways, it's kind of the old school version of, you know, going to a CD store and buying a jazz record and looking at the back and seeing, oh, cool, this person's on this record too, and then sort of going down this rabbit hole. And I think maybe for me, the website is a bit like that. You know, if people find a connection from somewhere else, they can go there and end up somewhere else.
Well, now we've talked about the website, we better let the listener know what that website address is.
Yes, so it's very simple. It's reubenlewis.com.
That's very simple.
It is very simple. I'm very glad I got that domain name, that's for sure. And it's R-E-U-B-E-N for those of you who are playing at home.
Now, one of the projects that you have there is what you're here to talk to us about tonight. It's I Hold the Lion's Paw, a collective. What is a collective? Why not just a band?
For me, the reason why I called it a collective is because it's not a fixed instrumentation or a fixed lineup of musicians. It started more as a chance for me to make sense of all this work I've been doing. So on the debut studio album called Abstract Playgrounds, you'll actually hear kind of a merging of a few different musical worlds for me. So people such as Ronnie Farella and his various crews was quite a important influence for me when I came to Melbourne, but also drummers such as Christian Winfeld, who is a dear friend of mine from, he's originally from Denmark, but I met him in Berlin. Also Dave Brown, who is a incredible sound artist who is known from the group Pateras Baxter Brown as well as other things. He's also playing with Adam Simmons' group at the Wangaratta Festival, and we're also doing a duo at some point under the guise of Stone Echidna, I'm pretty sure. So I guess for me, the band started as a chance for me to bring all these elements together so that sort of exercise music, sort of improv sound art kind of vibe that I was getting in Berlin, as well as the Melbourne Australian jazz aspects, as well as various other bits and pieces. And I guess it being a collective is important for me because it constantly shifts as I shift. So maybe one day I have a feeling I will start to expand down into very specific projects, but it may be, you know, Lion's Paw Theatre Group or Lion's Paw Electric Group or something like that. So the collective may shift, but see, here we go.
Something to keep our eyes on.
That's right.
You describe yourself, or you describe I Hold the Lion's Paw as a psychedelic jazz collective. Where does the psychedelic jazz section come from?
The experimental label tends to put you in a very different CD basket, so to speak. And I think psychedelic fits the influences quite well because I guess, like I said, albums like On the Corner and Live Evil from Miles Davis were very big influences for me, especially in the production of this record. And I think there is this sort of strange, rocky, psychedelic aspect to it, but mixed with jazz and free improvisation. So when I was talking to the label Earshift about how to kind of classify this, it seemed like psychedelic was the best sort of umbrella term for it, and it seems to have caught on.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Find more Joycasts and show blogs, go to joy.org.au.
Music there from I Hold the Lion's Paw. The album is Abstract Playgrounds, and that was a piece called Afro 2. Reuben, Afro 2, what's it all about?
Oh, good question.
Is there a story behind it?
Well, yes, there is actually. I think in about 2014, Ronnie Farella, who was one of the drummers on this album, and I started the project, which was, I guess, one of the several projects we've done over the years. But the focus in that group was using, I guess, Afrobeat style and rhythms as a kind of a framework in which to use, you know, free improvisation, but also to work on different ways to kind of really go deep into some of the rhythmic structures around that. So we were talking about ways to translate the same sort of claves and riffs into various forms, but not in a way that is, I guess, strictly mathematical, pre-worked out. It's more of a free improvisation vehicle, so the same sort of clave can shift and morph in extremely subtle and dramatic ways without it sort of being a, you know, a test of someone's mathematical skill, if you know what I mean.
Yes,
so
I do.
That was one of the, as a result of that, I wrote quite a few sort of short fragmented pieces that had these sort of rhythmic structures and a few sort of hooks, and this was one of the things that came out of that. And that actually leads in kind of well to the compositional process of the band, because
yes.
For example, that composition has three or four short cyclic little structures. One or two are melodies, one or two are more riff based, some of them are sort of more rhythmic figures. And the way the band works essentially is we have a collection of these pieces, normally about 10 or so. Some are much more structured, so like a three part melody line, there's space over three horns when we have the opportunity of three horns, or we have, you know, everyone has the same set of rhythms and notes and they can choose which line they want to take or put something else on top of it or collage it with something else. So it's all very free, but there are very specific notation and compositional aspects sort of melded through the thing. But the structure of the piece at all times is free improvisation as the overall guiding figure.
Now, you relocated from Berlin to Melbourne some years ago. Mm. Did your interest in psychedelic jazz start in Berlin?
Oh, no, I think I can blame my parents initially for that, but then also my trumpet mentor from Canberra, Miroslav Bukowski, who will also be at the Wayne Grotter Festival, I realised to my great joy. I'm originally from Canberra, before I went to Berlin, obviously I was in Canberra studying, and Miroslav was my first trumpet teacher, and I was with him for, I think, about 9 years. And then when I moved to Melbourne, we made some records together, and we've always stayed in touch, and I see him as kind of the reason why I do what I do now. So, you know, like all good trumpet teachers, he got me onto Miles at some point, and then, you know, Miles kind of stuck in there somewhere, and I think that's probably where it started, you know. And it's one of those things where you don't really think about it until you sort of look back at all the things you've listened to and all the things you've made and go, oh, okay, there is this sort of through line of kind of wacky bent, not really sort of sitting right kind of music.
Now, listening to the album, it's an album that you start at the start and you end at the end.
Mm.
It's not actually broken up orally into the individual tracks because they seem to roll onto each other. Was that a conscious decision to do it in that fashion?
Yes, it was. The album itself is actually conceived as an LP, a vinyl, more specifically. So you can actually purchase the LP, which I recommend as the sort of ideal format for it. Because the recording session was made in a free improv context, so we got into the studio and spent about 4 hours doing these long, like hour-long sort of improvisations. So once we sort of did that, I went through the material and tried to find a way to kind of cut it up in a way that was, I guess, you know, showed the concept of what the band is, but also had a really sort of immediacy about it as far as being punching and whatnot. And I thought, well, a vinyl is a good length of time, 22 minutes per side. I tried to make as much use of that as possible. So what you hear is these sort of two 22-minute extended pieces that you can sort of, you know, chop through and find little bits in isolation, but it is best sort of heard as one long piece. And I've made a point too as well is to make sure that on my Bandcamp page to find lots of live material of the band as well, where you can actually hear, because a lot of these things unfold over a longer period of time than 22 minutes. I think it's important to see and hear that in order to understand other aspects of the band. So if you're interested in seeing the longer part, you can also go on the website and check out the stuff that way.
Sounds good. I love the fact that as you listen through and if you watch the tracks numbers as they go past, some of the pieces just are sitting there and they're just little beautiful pieces, and I think they're placeholders.
Oh, thank you.
They're just saying, I'm holding the place here until we get off with the next big track. It's not distinctly alternating, but I love the feel of that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I think it's an important aspect. I mean, I think the reason why I gravitated towards a lot of the people on the album and the people I play with in general is that they're amazing orchestrators when it comes to improvisation. There's this sort of beautiful sense of form and transition, and there's never this sort of urgency to create big, epic sort of things. It's more about finding these breathing rooms between sort of bigger sections, I guess.
Now, you are performing at this year's Wayne Grotter Festival of Jazz and Blues. It's not very far away.
No,
it's so next
close.
Weekend. You're appearing 2:00 on next Sunday, so 7 days' time, at the St. Pat's Hall, which I understand this year is being set up more in a club environment set up.
Oh, fantastic.
Which should be absolutely amazing.
That suits us just fine.
And from what you've just told us, the audience is going to experience this suite.
That's
in
right.
Its entirety.
Yes, exactly. So if you're around, I mean, obviously feel free to come and go as you please, but I'd recommend maybe trying to get get the whole experience by sitting there for the whole time. We will make sure that we stay within the hour. When we did play at SEMA last time, we went for about an hour and a half. So we'll make sure that we keep it a bit more succinct for the audience.
Excellent. And a quick rundown of who's in the band.
Yes.
Or the collective, I should say.
The collective, yes. Well, for the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz, we have myself on trumpet and electronics. We have Jordan Murray on trombone. We have Cheryl Duriskampul on alto saxophone, flute, and I think, yeah, just flute for that one. Adam Halliwell on guitar and flute. David Brown on electric bass. Tom Lee on double bass. And Maria Moles on drums.
Sounds like a great lineup.
That's going to be great fun.
Ooh. Oh, Rex. Now, that's unexpected, but Rex is telling us we have a message. Paul, what have we got?
We've got a message that's come in. Hi, everyone. Great to see the dynamic duo Bent Notes co-hosting together tonight. That's us, David.
It is indeed.
It's great to see you as
back
well.
Together.
Are you Robin or Batman?
I don't know. A bit of cosplay on a Sunday night on the radio, why not? But we've got a question for you, Ruben, actually, from one of our listeners. I'm a huge Miles Davis fan, so this guest is an interesting artist and it's great to hear his musical process. Who would he love to collaborate with as his dream guest artist and why?
Ooh, okay. I think at the moment, just because I've been so in love with his latest album, it would be John Hassell. I mean, I would be terrified because it's just so beautiful. But I think I would choose John Hassell just because the way he has managed to craft his albums and his music and also his live sets from the few that I've managed to see, there's just this incredible sense of pace and gentle momentum in how he works. And I think just being around him in a working process would just reveal so much as to how to sort of embody that. Because I think one of the hardest things about free improvisation, especially when you're, you know, leading a band and running so many things at the same time, is that you can sort of get, you know, overtaken by this sense of urgency and stress and trying to keep everything going and whatnot. And I've always been incredibly impressed by how John keeps this sort of gentle flow with his music, and it still has this free sort of context. So that would be my pick at the moment. And also check out his album. It's incredible. It's called Listening to Pictures and it's on Bandcamp.
South Yarra, we trust that that is the answer that you are looking for. Thank you, Ruben, for answering that question. Our listeners do occasionally text us in during the midst of interviews.
Love it.
We like to get those questions through. Ruben, time is upon us. Thank you so much for dropping in to chat to us here tonight at Bent Notes.
Thank you so much.
About your creativity, your improvisation, and of course, the appearance at the Wangaratta Festival of Jazz and Blues next week with your psychedelic jazz I like saying it too. Psychedelic jazz collective, I Hold the Lion's Paw. I'm looking forward to seeing at least some of the show. It'll probably be the second half, but I'm looking forward to seeing some of it.
That's all right. It's all going to be interesting.
Thanks so much, Ruben.
Thank you.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.